afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Friday, January 14th, 2022. Hey, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How you doing?
I'm doing just great. Thank you very much.
I am, too. And I just think when you said about that, we're going to give them our opinion. You know, it's amazing. Nobody cares about our opinion at all, but I'm glad to do.
Well, that's the only thing we can say on the radio is our opinions.
Can't state too many facts, get in trouble, I understand.
You get in trouble, yeah, yeah. It's got to be opinion. Got to be, you got to cover our you-know-whats. And, you know, it tis what it is.
Yes, it is.
And, yeah. So, are we going to start right in with...
You can if you
report?
Want to. Oh. You can if you want to. I just sitting there thinking where we talk, looking outside, it's foggy and dreary, and they're calling for a big blizzard starting Sunday, and thinking about that. And my mind's already going in next week while you're talking about gold and silver, so I'll be back.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and give your mind a little bit of a break here. Gold today struggled down five. It was down that level all day long, pretty much. It bumped up to, we actually had a high of $1,828.
Ooh. Good.
And but she dropped 10 and down 5 from yesterday, 18.18. Silver was down 12 pennies today at 23.04. Platinum was down a dollar at 979, with palladium down 10 at 1,972. The USDX today was stronger by 0.31 at 95.16. Crude oil was up $2, over $2,
wow,
at 84.20. Yeah, she's going to hit 100.
Yes, she is.
Yep. The paper markets today, the Dow was down. I thought I saw it was down almost 300 points. It came back, and now it's down 200 points. Bank stocks got hit today, and it marks the second losing week to start 2022. So the Dow was down 201 points at 35,911. The S&P was up 3, though, at 4,662, and the NASDAQ was up 86 at 14,893. Asia was negative. Europe was negative. Let's see if anybody really got whammied. Nah. Asia, the Nikkei was down 1.25%. That was probably the biggest drop. The DAX was down almost 1%, so it really wasn't too bad. But everybody was in negative territory, except for the U.S. of A. We were only negative in the Dow. And so it's going to be an interesting week again next week. Things are just all – I don't think, Butch, anybody knows what to do. Or I don't think anyone really has a clue – an indication of which way these markets are going to head in the short term, on a short-term basis. We certainly expect 2022 to be quite interesting, but we expect every year, and every year is very interesting. But so that's it for the market report. I had one Henry Kaufman. He was the probably, I don't know if he was the original Dr. Doom, but he was a Dr. Doom on Wall Street back in the 70s. And he's old. He's up there. He's in his 90s. So, but he's still plugging along, and he still has his opinion. And he recently drew a parallel between the inflation scare of the 90s and what's happening today with our run-up prices. And he has zero confidence in the Federal Reserve's Jerome Powell, that he's ready to face the battle of these higher prices. And he basically said, you know, Powell is no Volcker, and that was the Fed chair back in the 70s. He says if Powell wanted to do something to fix these higher prices, he would immediately raise it 0.5% immediately, without saying, you know, maybe in the future and this and that, and he would keep going and so forth. So that's what he's advising him. He would have an immediate 50 basis point increase in short-term rates and explicitly signaling more to come. But things were a lot different in the 70s than what it is today. And with him being in his 90s, what you did in the 70s, maybe you can't do in today's world. I don't know. But the whole point is he knows that the Fed is between that rock and the hard place. And there isn't much that the Fed can do about it. They will react when they need to react, but they're certainly not leading anything. And they're not controlling anything. The markets are controlling the Federal Reserve. Inflation is controlling the Federal Reserve. And so we'll see what happens in 2022, Butch.
Well, you know, compared to the 70s, I mean, the 70s compared to today, I should say, were somewhat of a prosperous time as far as finances go, because the dollar was still buy something. You didn't make as much, but it was still worth something. So my first good-paying job after I got married, Melody, was $450 a month salary. That was my first good-paying job. I got married in 71. Today, $450 wouldn't last you for 3 days. Well, so that's a month. So we're much worse off than we were in the 70s financially and economically and inflation-wise also. I mean, yes, inflation going up back in the 70s, but folks, the dollar is still worth something. We are much worse off. And the gentleman you were talking about could see the future. And what he said was going to happen doesn't necessarily happen overnight. I hear this all the time. Well, you said the dollar is going to collapse and this is going to... And I keep trying to explain to him, Bill, the dollar doesn't collapse overnight. They're killing it incrementally every day. A percentage here, a percentage there. A dollar's worth about 3 cents what it was in 1933. Is that about right?
Mm-hmm.
So how much have they killed it in less than 100 years? The dollar is dying. We're going to share that with an article in a second. The dollar is literally dying, folks. It's dying. It's coming down to nothing. And it's basically nothing now, except we believe it's worth something, so we still use it. But hamburger at a local Dollar General store here, hamburger, and it isn't the good stuff. It's not the good stuff, I promise. The Family Dollar doesn't sell the expensive hamburger. Over $8 a pound, Melody. Over $8 a pound.
Wow.
So don't tell me the dollar is not dropping like a rock. It is. It truly is. And I didn't know this today, and I was listening to another talk show. I knew somewhat, but I had no idea how big it was, I guess I should say. The Fed owns about 25% of the mortgages in this country. Did you know that?
Probably, yes.
Yeah, I can imagine. Why would the Federal Reserve, which is private banking, folks, it's not federal, it's a private bank corporation. Federal Reserve, though, supposed to be ones that watch over the money supply and takes care of the inflation and all that, owns 25% of the mortgages in this country. Why do you think that is? Why do you think we were told that one day you'd know nothing and be happy about it? It's called the Great Reset. When the Fed controls most of the, will control eventually, most of the mortgages and properties in this country, what do you think you're going to do with it? Just let this sink in. The Federal Reserve, the one we thought was supposed to be there to regulate the dollar and keep it from inflating and deflating, which is obviously not true, but they're in the real estate business. Interesting, isn't that, Melody?
It really is. But hey, so this, who cares?
Yeah,
nobody seems to. Nobody understands. Nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about what's on the Fed's balance sheet. Nobody talks about those mortgage-backed securities. Nobody talks about the treasuries that they own. Treasuries plus mortgages, you know, you name it. So, yeah, so all these rate increases affect them too. So it's, and you know, when you mentioned something earlier about the dollar dollar's been losing value since they took us off the gold standard, period.
That's right, 1930s, yes. Yes, it had been.
But what I believe is when they default on the debt, that will happen overnight. And I think people get things confused.
Uh-huh,
And that doesn't necessarily even mean that the dollar will go to zero. But back in 2008, it went to 71, 72, something of that level. And look what was happening then. What can you imagine? Even if it goes to 50, the turmoil. So, yeah, they'll either replace it at that point in time or, you know, they'll, and that's what they did in the Weimar Republic, that they tried to hold on to it and they kept creating a currency until one stuck. Eventually, I don't know, they went through, I don't know, a couple of different currencies until one stuck, until one began and it stuck because things were changing. That's what people don't, I don't believe that when things unwind, it's going to happen quickly. We will have the impact of what we feel, but I believe on a different level, whether it be, I guess it would be government. I mean, they're going to be doing things in order to, you know, create or to put in place their new monetary order, which would be globally, because everything else is going to collapse too, because we're all tied together.
Yes.
So, and while they're fixing that, and as much as they can fix and what they'll do what they have planned to do, we're still going to be hurting. We'll hurt much longer than a lot of these changes that they make in order to fix things. Some people will never get back to where they were. So, it's... And I hope they hold it... I wish it would never happen. I wish they could create something that they would fix it. I wish somebody would grow a backbone in D.C. and do what needs to be done to at least hamper the devastation that's going to happen. I wish they can put off from defaulting for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Because when it does happen, I don't think too many people are really ready for it.
No. I don't think anybody really is. It's going to be a shock to the system for sure.
Absolutely.
One more comment on the dollar, then we'll move on. But I just want to, I was thinking today about back when the dollar was backed by gold and silver, even up to 64. You give somebody a piece of paper that said it's payable to the bearer on demand, $1 in silver, for example. That's what they had real silver in the bank. So you give them not real money. You give them a coupon of a promise that is redeemable in real money. That's what you did. You could go to the bank. You get an ounce of silver for one coupon that says a dollar on it. And the same thing with gold up until the 1930s. Today we have no promise on that. It's called a note. It's not called a silver certificate. It's called a note. All you're doing is passing debt to somebody else. You're giving them a promissory note that's not backed by anything. Up until 64, Mel, you give them a promissory note that was backed by $1 in silver. Is it any wonder it's lost value? We still use it, but nothing is of value at all. We can't go to the bank and get something of value out of it. We just pass paper with paper. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's no wonder it's going to nothing. There's nothing to say it's worth anything. But at one time, you could go to the bank, and I remember these days, you could get a silver dollar for a promissory note to pay. It was promised to pay you a dollar on demand. It's what it was. Today, there's no promise to pay you demand anything. You just said it's legal tender, you know, for debts, public and private. But it's not promised to give you anything of value in exchange. We think it's good, so therefore we use it. I do it every day. You do too. But we're swapping a piece of paper for tangible goods. And the paper is worth nothing, but we believe it is because the government says it is, and there we are. That's called a great deception, and it's taking us down in every way possible economically. Mm-hmm. Any more comments on that?
No.
I want to read this quote from Dr. Adam Inovit before we get started. I thought this was really good. So if you still need a booster after being fully vaccinated, and testing after being fully vaccinated, and hospitalization after being fully vaccinated, and mask, social distancing and lockdowns all after being fully vaccinated, and it's time to admit You've been fully conned. I thought that was very well put. Dr. Adam Anidovitz said that. I thought it was very well put that we've been conned on that again, folks, and it's still going on. It's not over yet. But I thought that was a very good statement. And I think we'll have time to cover this in the article, Melody. This is by Michael Snyder. And I like Michael's writings. Do you? You enjoy his writings?
Most of them, uh-huh.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much right on. The dollar has entered a death spiral, and a lot more inflation is on the way. Did anyone out there actually expect things to turn out differently? When the federal government kept borrowing and spending trillions upon trillions of dollars that we did not have, we were warned that this day was coming. When the Federal Reserve kept pumping trillions upon trillions of fresh dollars into our financial system, we were warned that this day was coming. So why is anybody surprised by what is happening at this point? On Wednesday, it was being reported that in December, the U.S. Consumer Price Index rose at the fastest pace in nearly 40 years. Inflation rose at the fastest pace in nearly four decades in December, as rapid price gains fueled consumer fears about the economy and sent President Biden's approval ratings tumbling. The Consumer Price Index rose 7%. Folks, that's really, really low. It's closer to 20%, I promise. Anyway, from a year ago, according to a new Labor Department report released Wednesday, making the fastest increase since June 1982, when inflation hit 7.1%. The CPI, which measures a bevy of goods ranging from gasoline and health care to groceries and rents, jumped 0.5% in a one-month period from November. They keep telling us that the Consumer Price Index was actually increasing at a faster rate back in 1982, but whenever the corporate media makes such a claim, they are not being honest. The way that the Consumer Price Index is calculated has been changed more than two dozen times since 1980, and every single time it's been changed, the goal was to make the rate of inflation look smaller. According to John Williams of ShadowsStats.com, the Consumer Price Index was still calculated the way it was back in 1990. The official rate of inflation will be above 10% right now. And if the Consumer Price Index was still calculated the way that was back in 1980, the official rate of inflation will be above 15% right now. But 7% sounds a whole lot better than 15%, doesn't it? We can get a better picture of what is that really going on out there when we start looking at the individual categories. Gasoline up 56%, heating oil 42%, used cars 37%, car rental 36%, natural gas 31%, hotels 27%, beef 18.6%, pork 15.1%, furniture 13.8%, new cars 12%. So that's actual inflation, folks. It'd be over 15% if we still use the same standard back in 1980. Mm-hmm. That should tell us something, that we're being conned. I had to get that in before break time. I thought it was very important.
It is very important. And he was spot on with all those numbers. And you're right, we're heading into break, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Surviving. Everybody wants to.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And what's next?
Well, I'll make one more comment. An article just finished. As you heard Michael say, that if we went by the same standard we did back in 1980, the inflation rate would be 15%. I'd say they went with, they backed up another 20 years, 1916, used the same standard, be closer to 20-some percent.
True.
So this is what's happening, folks. We're being conned and conned and conned. But anyway.
And if you went back to 1950.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be much higher.
Absolutely. But see, they do it in such incremental steps. Most people are so busy trying to keep food on the table, they don't pay attention to really what's going on. They're not, they know the dollar's shrinking, but they're having a hard time buying a pound of hamburger for $8. You know, what they do?
Well, they've been told, lots of times they've been told it's just prosperity. It's good.
Oh, yeah, you're making more money now. What you complain about?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And this has been hashed about before, but it's worth raising again because it looks like it's starting to be talked about a lot more, maybe coming to fruition. IRS would track all bank transactions over $600 under Biden plan. Businesses revolt. Now, folks, this is not off the table yet. A major component of President Joe Biden's plan to raise revenue to pay for these trillions of dollars in new federal spending is now under fire from trade associations across the country. The Biden administration has made it clear it's planning to beef up IRS auditing by expanding the agency's funding and power. And folks, they want to hire thousands of new IRS agents. Biden's go ahead.
There is misinformation on this $600 transaction deal.
Okay. Is that correct, or?
It is very confusing. So don't get, I don't want to interrupt your what you have and so forth, and it could be something totally separate. But there was a $600 reporting transaction that went into effect January 1st. It applies to PayPal, Cash App, Venmo. If you get paid, if you're self-employed or you have a side hustle or something and you get paid through digital apps like those, that any earnings over $600 will be reported to the IRS. This was a provision from the 2021 American Rescue Plan that went into effect January 1st. Direct third-party payment processors to report transactions received for goods and services totaling over $600 per year to the IRS. Prior to this legislation, a third-party payment platform would only report to the tax agency if a user had more than 200 commercial transactions and made more than $20,000 in payments over the course of the year. This new law won't apply to your 2021 taxes, which you'll file this tax season, but it will apply to the earnings that you make through 2022, which you will report, you know, in 2022. So this isn't so, it's a reporting requirement that's changing. So payment apps may be requesting tax information, you know, from you and so forth. It's so everybody thinks that if you go to Walmart and buy something over $600, you're going to be reported. No, you're not.
No, that's not the point. No, that is not it.
No.
No, that's not it.
That's what a lot of people are saying.
Oh, they've been, okay. You know, and it's not true. But no. The way they're going won't be long.
I agree.
You know, said, but this said Biden's latest proposal would require banks to turn over to the Internal Revenue Service bank account information for all accounts holding more than $600. So this is still being proposed. It's not in yet. Mm. In a sharp pushback against the proposal, more than 40 trade associations, some of which represent entire industries or economic sectors, signed a letter to U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, raising the alarm about the plan. So this isn't in yet, I don't guess, on the $600 balance or more in an account. If you don't have $600 in your banking account when you go pay your bills, you're not going to pay many bills, are you? So, I don't know if this is going to come into effect or not, but they won't report any account worth more than $600 in it. So, I don't know. Any opinion on that?
No, because I have to see it before I can.
Yeah, okay. Check it out. That's what the article is all about. And I thought, I knew the one you just talked about was already going into effect. This one, I think, is a new one. And Omicron is threatening the survival of U.S. restaurants. And this is so sad and so sickening. But, folks, it is what it because we're allowing it to happen. We are allowing this to happen. U.S. restaurants stayed afloat during the pandemic thanks to outdoor heaters, elaborate patio spaces, and to-go drinks. But the creative workarounds, it weren't enough to stem the losses from the recent Omicron-fueled surge of COVID cases. Sales decreased, listen to this, Melody, 98% sales decreased at 98% of restaurants across the country in December, according to a poll of 1,169 restaurants conducted by the Independent Restaurant Coalition. Sales dropped by at least half, 58% of those surveyed, while 80% of the restaurant owners said Omicron impacted their operating hours. The sharp hit to restaurants nationwide demonstrates the pandemic continuing to blow to the industry despite national efforts to avoid economic pitfalls from shutdown this winter. The impact is particularly challenging for businesses that didn't get the funding from the Restaurant Revitalization Fund, a $28.6 billion federal effort to rescue struggling businesses that was part of American Rescue Fund. 4 out of 5 businesses that did not receive grants said they were in danger of permanently closing in 2022. This is unbelievable. And there are pharmacies now not open on weekend because they can't find staff. Nurses are on strike because they can't find enough staff to work in the hospitals. Folks, this is really happening as we speak right now. Our nation is shutting down. Piece by piece, bit by bit, it's shutting down. But 98% of the restaurants across the country said they lost money in December. Now, that is huge. And we for so long in this country, have taken so much for granted. We go to a restaurant, it's open, they're staffed, they have plenty of food. Folks, you've seen it yourself. You've been out doing anything lately. Restaurants are closing earlier. Sometimes, and they're begging for staff. The food prices in the restaurants are going through the roof. So this is what we're seeing happen. We're watching our country shut down piece by piece. And no, it's not accidental. It's on purpose. And Melody's
well,
been
now,
begging
Butch,
for years.
The stock market is still making record highs.
I know. Stock market's doing great. Of course, the inflation won't have anything to do with that, though, you know.
No, not at all.
Those are honest numbers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know they are.
Yeah, of course.
And Melody's been trying to tell you all
Butch,
for years
wouldn't
what
be lying
to
do.
Go ahead.
Do what we now? Wouldn't be lied to. We wouldn't
no,
be
not,
lied to.
No, not by the corporations and government. Surely not.
Mm-hmm.
No way. And retail sales dropped 1.9%, 2% in December as higher prices caused consumers to curb spending. I understand that. I, for one, watch where I put money now because I understand it's tightening up on me, too. Retail sales fell much more than expected in December as surging prices took a big bite out of spending, the Commerce Department reported Friday. The advanced monthly sales report to close out the year showed a decline of 1.9%, considering considerably more worse than a Dow Jones estimate of 0.1 drop. Yeah, no duh. Excluding autos, sales fell 2.3%, a number that also fell well short of expectations of 0.3% rise. In addition to the weak December numbers, the November gain was revised down to 0.2% from initially reported 0.3% increase. Considering that the sales numbers are not adjusted for inflation, the data point to a slow ending to what had otherwise been a strong 2021, in which sales rose 16.9% from the pandemic-scared 2020. Yes, folks, the suffering is spread across the board here for small businesses and for individuals. It's not hurting corporations. No. They're making more money than ever. And the government sure doesn't care. You haven't heard anybody anywhere, at least I have, Melody, anywhere on any news channel, any national broadcast lately, they say that the government's giving away too much money as far as the cause of inflation, and we got to cut back on spending. We got to do this. We got to really shut down some things. It isn't happening. Even the Republicans aren't saying much about it. They all are going along, and I promise you, if they would add another $1 trillion in the giveaway bill, then most Republicans would vote for it.
But, you know, the only thing that they report on television and any of the mainstream media is they will report inflation is higher, and they'll tell you that your, you know, used cars are up 37%. They'll tell you that your beef is up 15 or whatever it is and so forth and whatnot. But that's all.
That's it.
That's all they'll tell you. And they won't tell you why. They won't tell you who did it to you. And they don't tell you where we're going. But they'll tell you prices are higher, so they're reporting the news. But then, you know, it truly is unbelievable.
Well, it is happening, and anyone with eyes to see that really care to see the truth, obviously can see this is happening. We're not making it up when we're saying this nation is literally falling apart piece by piece. So the economy's dying, society's dying, but the economy's dying every day.
Yeah.
And there's no way around. I mean, when you go to the store, my wife bought Marcia, a lounge chair. She wanted a new one, so he bought it for her. And it's been 3 weeks they ordered it. They haven't got it in yet. Said it could be 6 to 8 weeks if, that's what they said, if they get it manufactured and if they can find the driver to deliver it. They haven't had a driver come. They're supposed to be up every Thursday. They haven't had a driver show up in 3 weeks. How about that? And that's a big glass store right here in Summersville, West Virginia. They haven't showed up with the furniture. I'm sure they have other supplies coming in. But as far as the furniture part of it, they haven't had a driver come in 3 weeks. Last Thursday, I can understand it because we had a nasty day and weather-wise. But how about the other 2 weeks? So, Melody, what's that tell you? If they can't even find drivers to deliver goods, it's getting serious, isn't it?
It is, and I just don't understand why. I mean... What happened to all the people?
I agree. I mentioned on Wednesday. Where did 4 or 5 million people go? Are they all dead? What happened to them?
Why don't they want to work?
That's a good
question. Are they that wealthy? Do they get that much from government? They don't have to work?
The same question I asked you.
Have they accepted just a lower standard of living and given up? I don't get it. Have gotten better jobs. I mean, a truck driver, kudos to him for going, you know, improving and moving up into management and so forth. You can't tell me that there's not people to it just doesn't make sense.
Making sense at all. This next article ties in with it too, and these are so true, and it makes me angry to read them. It makes me angry if people don't pay attention. Social Security recipients are getting a big raise, but also are falling further behind. What Social Security number giveth, the grocery store, landlord, and pharmacy taketh away. Very well put. In October, the Social Security Administration announced that recipients will get a cost of living raise of 5.9%. That means the average recipient will get an estimate $1,674 a month, beginning with the January check equal to $20,088 a year. But weeks later, The Labor Department said the inflation rate, the cost of living index, jumped 6.8% for the 12-month ended in November 30th, the fastest inflation rate since 1992. Food, housing, all the basics are shooting up. The math's not hard here. If you're getting 5.9% more, but the cost of living is up to 6.8%, you've lost ground, which means Americans are being squeezed. The danger here is that Social Security was designed to supplement income for retirees. In reality, it is the only source of income that many have. According to the Social Security Administration, among elderly Social Security beneficiaries, 37% of men and 42% of women receive 50% or more of their income from Social Security. Among elderly Social Security beneficiaries, 12% of men and 15% of women rely on Social Security for 90% of or more of their income. In an ideal world, retirement finances were supposedly to resemble a three-legged stool. One leg represents pension income, the second personal savings, and the third Social Security. But as the above bullet points show, that fantasy land for all too many seniors. On top of this, Social Security, which is now paying out more than it's taking in, is scheduled to use up its vaulted reserve by 2033. After that, Social Security trustees say they'll only be able to pay recipients about 76 cents on the dollar. Think about that. Inflation going up, cost of living hikes are keeping up, and on the not-too-distant future, or horizon, giant cuts loom. And folks, I think it'd be before that. There's no money in there now. The ones that are working are paying into it now, and people aren't working like they were. Not near as many.
Well,
but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's millions not working.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, so, yeah, it's a disaster just waiting to happen.
The inflation rate is 7%, and you get a 0.9% increase. Inflation, say 7%. So you lost almost a percentage wise, but according to real inflation, you lost at least 15%. Mm-hmm. So how much did we gain? I mean, these things people I don't think they're thinking, I got a pay raise, but how much did it cost you? How much do you have left over? Are you prospering more with that? Are you putting it in the bank? Are you saving it? You buying things with it? Or are you still just trying to pay the regular bills? I think it's a good question, a fair question, don't you?
Well, you know, everything is so distorted anymore with all these new maths and everything, and people don't see things in terms of... Well, I was talking to someone the other day when people buying cars, it's like... You know, people don't buy cars based on the cost of the vehicle. They buy it based on the payment.
Yeah.
Well, I can afford that payment. They don't even have a clue how much the car is costing them. Because it all's been... And that it is... People don't have an... I mean, there's like no reality in which we live at all. I mean, people buy things. They don't know what they pay for. They use their credit cards. They don't have a clue what their interest rates are. They just see at the end of the month that they have a minimum monthly payment of this, so they make it. You know, it's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
And it will catch up. It has caught up. And so has our break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All around the limbo world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. We're heading into the last segment of the program today for Friday, January 14th, 2022. And where are we going next, Butch?
How about 40 keys? Oh, you mean on news-wise. Okay.
Yeah, we can go there. Yeah, sure.
Good. You buy all the tickets and rent us a yacht and we'll head on down there.
All right.
Yeah, but anyway. I'm going to share this and I'm going to ask you a question. Severe struggle over federal debt limit and moves to impeach Biden. What could happen in Republican Congress? Here we go again, folks. Let's clean the House. Let's sweep the floor. Get ready for a debt limit drama and moves to impeach President Joe Biden if Republicans rout Democrats in November's midterm election. With Democrats facing what one analysis calls an incredibly hostile environment for the midterms. Observers see Republicans as a clear favorite to win the House of Representatives in a good position to capture the Senate as well. Republican control of one or both chambers of the Congress would usher in a major policy changes spanning from fiscal policy to Biden's appointees. Eurasia Group analysis wrote in a note this week, Republicans control the House. Expect multiple investigations into Biden administration, a severe struggle over government funding and debt limit, and potential passage of articles of impeachment against President Biden. Melody, I am so sick of hearing this back and forth. You remember back in the 90s when Newt Gingrich was going to clean the House, he's going to come in, he's going to change everything for the good, and they did. They had Republicans in control. You remember when Trump got in and he had control of both houses, and he's going to change the country? What happened? Democrats are in charge now. But next election, Republicans are going to be in charge again. Where do these promises go? And all they're doing when Trump was in, all you heard was Russiagate, impeach Trump. Well, if the Republican, they're going to impeach Biden. And when it comes right down to the end results, what's that going to change?
You know, it never changes anything, and it just amazes me. I really do that people are tired. They're going to start feeling the impacts more and more in their standard of living. And they don't want to hear this garbage anymore. So these people in D.C., these politicians, they don't have anything better to do. They don't have anything else to do. And we pay them what we pay them. They become millionaires when they move to D.C. through the lobbyists and everything else. They're inside trading. And, I mean, it's disgusting.
It is.
It's disgusting.
And that's both parties.
It's both parties. You used to say, well, there's a few good ones up there. I'm not even so sure there's a few good ones anymore. Maybe there's some good intent when you start doing your campaign. But that's short-lived.
Well, I've been around long enough to see both parties in charge time and time again.
What have they done, Butch?
Nothing. Every
Nothing.
every no every administration has taken us further into debt. Every one of them, folks, in my lifetime has taken us further into debt. God's involved in unjust wars, tax increased taxes, every one of them. When they promised they wouldn't do it, they did it anyway. Whether it be state or federal makes no difference.
Well, the reason they keep on and saying this garbage, talk about impeachment and everything, it takes the heat off of them.
Exactly.
It makes everybody focus on what they're doing.
It gives them false hope. False hope.
And it takes any heat off of their lack of accomplishments or whatever you want to call it, to their they're the ones that are truly behind the biggest problems. It's not the president. They're his hands. He's a puppet. Doesn't matter who's in there. He's a puppet. They get appointed. They get picked. And, it is. I mean, that's been going on a long time. So, our elections have been rigged for a long time. So
that's very true.
You have all this money being funneled into the cities and the states. The states and the cities changing the district attorneys. And I mean, it's horrible with what's happening. There's let them start changing campaign finance. Get this big money out of our local elections and so forth. That ain't going to happen. They're too busy creating some stupid impeachment talk.
Well, there's one, if they were all serious, there's one thing they could do, and they're not going to do it because they'll cut their easy living. They would have term limits. They would pass term limits, period.
Maximum they would do term limits and campaign finance.
Absolutely.
For federal and state.
And make it tougher for them to vote themselves pay raises and benefits.
Right.
That ain't going to happen, folks. Get over it. It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. And until that does happen,
nothing's going to change.
Nothing's going to change.
Canada drops vaccine mandate for its truckers after pressure from industry. This is good news for Canada. Canada will allow unvaccinated Canadian truckers to cross in from the United States, reversing a decision requiring all truckers to be inoculated against the coronavirus, Canada's border agency said on Wednesday. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had faced pressure from the main opposition party and trucking lobby to drop the vaccine mandate for truckers due to come into force on Saturday, saying it could result in driver shortages, disrupt trade, and drive up inflation. The Canadian Border Services Agency said that unvaccinated or partially vaccinated Canadian truck drivers arriving at the U.S.-Canada border will remain exempt from pre-arrival, arrival and post-arrival testing and quarantine requirements. However, truckers from the United States will still need to be vaccinated if they will be turned back at the border from January 15th. Canadian government sources said that this decision was taken to ensure smooth supply chains. So Canadian drivers coming across in the country can come back in the country, but American truckers cannot cross the line unless they've been vaccinated. Don't you think it's still cutting their throat a little bit, Melody?
Well, you'd think.
I mean, this—it's the confusion of this is unbelievable. And we know what happened. SCOTUS blocks OSHA shop mandate and allows it for healthcare workers. Now, wait a minute. On the U.S., and I knew this would be wishy-washy. I knew this would not be cut and dry for everybody. They had to make it half and half. They have to do that. The U.S. Supreme Court, in a 6-3 opinion, blocked the Biden administration's vaccine or test requirement for businesses with over 100 employees. But in a 5-4 opinion, of course, folks, it's close. It's so close. One more justice on our side. The High Court allowed the shop mandate authorized for Medicare, Medicaid, health care facilities, and workers. So they made a decent opinion on the private businesses. But they didn't go all the way and say this is not. You can't mandate vaccines. You cannot do that. It's outside the jurisdiction of the president or even Congress to do this. But they did a halfway job as normal, Melody, and it just irks me. I was afraid they would probably not do anything, but then to best they were going to do a halfway job. They did. So they didn't stop all of them. This is still going to be a battle going on now. and among the health care workers. And I'm sure there's going to be more of that come out, even though the Supreme Court ruled in favor against Biden on the private business side of it. This isn't over. They didn't, you know, this is going to go on. So
the decision. That's why we talked about it briefly yesterday, and that's what I said. I said, you know, for these companies, you know, for 100, you know, how can they side, again, divide one group against another group?
That's it.
Who are they making these decisions for? It's supposed to be for the people. And how can you side for just those, you know, businesses and not the health care? And not just the health care, with Medicaid and Medicare, government programs. So the government, when they instill that all government employees are mandated, they're different. Aren't they Americans too? And if it was unconstitutional for the one side, why wouldn't it be I don't get it, Butch.
I don't either, except that's part of the plan. They have to maintain confusion, I guess, because that's the only thing they say about it. I mean, why would they do it in a different way? Why didn't they make it simple, clear cut, and to the point? You can't mandate these things. So obviously that is
well. That's what they did say for the, you know, 100+ employee people.
Yes, but that mm-hmm. but that lets it wide open though for other. There'll be more of this. This is not going away. I mean, it's just what it is. It isn't over yet. So I mean, the Supreme Court could have made a clear sweep and said we're not going to allow this for anything. There'll be no forced vaccinations. Period. But it didn't happen that way. I want to try to get one more article on, then I want to, before I close, I want to share a good news story. You probably read this out of Reuters. Be afraid. Ukraine hit by cyber attacks as Russia moves more troops. Ukraine was hit by a cyber attack that spliced a warning across government websites to be afraid and expect the worst. Now, this is what comes across websites, folks. Be afraid, expect the worst. While Russia, which has massed 100,000 troops on the neighbor's frontier, released pictures of more than its forces on the move. The cyber attack unfolded hours after talks wrapped up, with no breakthrough between Russia and Western allies, with fear Moscow would launch a new military assault on a country invaded in 2014. Kyiv and President Zelensky has proposed a three-way meeting with the leaders of Russia and the United States. Zelensky's chief of staff, Yermak, said that life and death of his country hung in the balance. A U.S. official said Washington was concerned that Russia was preparing for an invasion if diplomacy failed. As part of its plans, Russia is laying a groundwork to have the option of fabricating a pretext for invasion, including through sabotage activities and information operations, by accusing Ukraine of preparing an imminent attack against Russian forces in eastern Ukraine. Russia denies plans to attack Ukraine, but says it could take unspecified military action unless its demands, including a promise by NATO alliance never to admit Kyiv, are met. Foreign Minister. So anyway, this is still heating up. Apparently, Ukraine got hit by a cyber attack, and coming across the screens, be afraid, expect the worst. Who did it? U.S.? Russia? Who did it? Now, listen to this. Russia may deploy troops to Venezuela, Cuba, if tensions with the U.S. continue to rise. Now, this is getting really close to home, is it not?
It is.
So, folks, this is fulfilled scripture, Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars. We said that amid stalled talks with Russia, between Russia and NATO over what effectively is a novel split of Europe into geopolitical sphere of influence, Russia decided to take the show on the road and demonstrate to the U.S. what it feels like to be surrounded by military bases along your borders. And on Thursday, after saying it talks to the U.S. over the security situation in Ukraine is stalled, Russia's deputy foreign minister suggested Moscow could dispatch a military deployment to Venezuela and Cuba. There you go. It's heating up, folks. It really is. Millie, I would like to close, if you don't mind, with a good news story. It'll be all right with you?
That'll be fine with me.
This is back to the I-95 situation again. Uber driver stranded on 995 buys teen passenger hotel room. An Uber driver who was stranded on 995 in Virginia is being praised for his kindness and determination to get a young passenger home safe. Devontae Williams was stuck on 995 near Washington, D.C. for nearly 6 hours with an overwhelmed teenage passenger who was trying to get home to Williamsburg, Virginia, about 150 miles away. The teenage girl was originally going to take a train, but it was canceled due to derailment, so she turned to Uber. Williams said she was very, very emotional. After first having attempted to get home on a canceled train ride, only become stranded on the highway. She would call her mother or call her father here and there to communicate with what was going on, Williams said. She was overwhelmed, and I totally understood because all she wanted to do was get home. He also spoke to her parents to let them know he would take care of their daughter. Williams finally found a way to exit the interstate around 7:30 a.m. the next morning, exhausted from sitting in traffic all night. And still a long way from home, Williams booked him a hotel for the young rider to get some sleep and make alternative travel plans. He even offered to drive her the rest of the way home once the road was clear at no charge. Ultimately, a family friend was able to pick her up and drive her safely home. An Uber representative later called Williams, thanking him and asking for a receipt for the motel room to reimburse him. He also had been offered a managing job for Ride Auto, which is an upscale ride sourcing service that operates in Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, Miami, and D.C. Bless his heart. Isn't that sweet?
Yes, it is, to take care of someone. Yes, it is.
A young teenage girl trying to get home, scared to death, I'm sure, and very emotional, and he just more or less adopted her for a day, put her in a motel room, took care of her, mm-hmm. and told her parents, I'll take care of her until she gets home safe. Now, that is heartwarming. It really and truly is.
There's good people out there, Butch.
There are. There truly are. There truly are. And I'm just thinking about this. I mean, I feel for the little girl, you know, I mean, wanting to go home and stranded on a highway. So, folks, there's people out there that are doing the right thing. Let's all try to do the same thing. What do you say?
I agree. And I also say we're out of time. So, we will be back on Monday. So, folks, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.